What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because busy does not equal effective. We're all dealt 24 hours in a day, and I believe how you spend that time, or maybe rather how you invest it, should give you some sort of return. And that could be a monetary return, sure, but it could also be a return in personal satisfaction or the impact that you have on others. Today, I want to introduce a productivity framework I've been working on that I'm calling the productivity pyramid. And like most frameworks, it's a work in progress, but here's how it shapes up. You can imagine a pyramid on a piece of paper with, I've got four steps on this pyramid, or four levels. The foundation of this pyramid is your vision or your goals. Like, what do you want to accomplish? Stacked on top of that are the projects that are going to be needed to help realize those goals. Above that, I have the tasks that you need to accomplish those projects. And finally, I have the kind of like tools and tactics inside of those tasks. Like, how are you actually getting the work done? What tools are you using to get the work done? So I'm going to use that as a framework for this conversation. And to help me talk through this today is Kate Erickson from EO Fire. Kate is a master of systems, and over the last several years has helped grow EOFire.com into a multi-million dollar operation. Her new podcast is Ditch Busy, which is all about helping you take back control of your time. Kate, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Nick, thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here. When you shared this framework with me, I was like, oh man, he's speaking my language. I love it.
Oh, we can geek out on this stuff for the next little bit, because I've learned obviously a ton from you and John over the years. So excited to dive into this. And maybe we start off with that foundation, this vision or the goal layer of where do you want to go? Do you have some, I don't know, a goal setting exercise or a vision setting exercise that you found works for you?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it really comes down to like the most important thing is that you're actually giving yourself the time to do this. And I know that that sounds kind of silly because, of course, if we're going to work on something or brainstorm something, we need the time. But very rarely do we actually carve out that time, schedule it, set it aside, literally say, I cannot be distracted for the next 1 hour or the next 2 hours or whatever it may be. But that focus time is so critical in helping you even really be able to dig deep enough to get to a place where you start to realize your vision and your goals. And I think that because so many of us tend to work on the surface because things are moving so fast, like we want to get a lot done, you know, hurry, 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 pile on, pile on, pile on, that we end up working on the surface and we never go deep enough to think about like, okay, what is that desired outcome that I want? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Where is this going to get me? What's my end goal? And to really give yourself the time to be able to dig deep into those things, I think that that's the first and foremost, most critical thing is to schedule that time. I think it's very underplayed. And then once you have that time, I mean, it's really just a matter of sitting and writing out. Like, I have an exercise for kind of visioning your perfect day. And I think that a lot of times this can really help us put into perspective, like, what is it that we want our life to look like? When we start a side hustle, when we have a family, when we have all these competing things that are like vying for our priority list, it's like, what do we want? What do we want our every single day to look like? And once we can start mapping some of that stuff out, then we start to get to the heart of our goals, because then we can say, okay, if this is what I want my every day to look like, what do I need to accomplish? What do I need to achieve in order to make that happen?
Yeah, I think that's an important place to start, because oftentimes we'll start with a financial goal. Like, I want to have $1 million. I want to make six figures a year. That is great, but understand that's a means to an end. That's not necessarily the end itself. So it sounds like you're working on the vision, the perfect day exercise, what is the outcome of that goal? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's more about like the feelings and the experiences and what you're doing with your time that like maybe that $1 million or six figures or whatever it is, that makes it possible. So yes, absolutely.
Is it possible to set a goal that is rooted in each, or do you have to just own the fact that the money is going to be a means to the end, not the end itself.
No, I mean, I think that once you have your vision and you have a really strong why, like, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you creating this side hustle? Why are you investing your time in a particular project? I think absolutely some of those micro goals can be those monetary goals, but it should always be with the vision in mind of like, if I can, say, launch this course and generate five figures, six figures, whatever your goal is, then it will allow me to fulfill X, Y, and Z. Because Nick, I mean, you know, and I think this is what you're getting at as well. It's you can set that six-figure goal, but the happiness is not in the money. The happiness is in what the money affords you. Time with your family, vacations, experiences, you know, all of that non-tangible stuff.
Yeah. Are you doing this on a monthly, quarterly, annual basis, project basis? Like, curious how this might look like in practice for you.
I love checking in quarterly at the very least. I feel like smaller chunks of time really work well for me. That's a personal preference. I know a lot of people kind of tackle goals from like an annual perspective. So I think it's just about kind of digging in and figuring out what works best for you. But I like quarterly. Like, I can really get a handle on like a 90-day plan or a 100-day plan a lot easier because like once we start stretching out over a year, and this is the reason why I kind of don't really go that route necessarily, is I think it creates overwhelm because when you start thinking of like multiple goals and multiple projects, then that can result in like, whoa, how am I ever even going to make any of this happen? So if you can break it out into smaller chunks, I always think that that's a benefit.
Yeah, I think so too. I haven't done annual goals in several years for that very reason. Like 12 months from now, like who knows what the world is going to look like? And I think 2020 is the perfect example of that. Like right. What happens when a pandemic punches your plans in the face? It's like, okay, back to the drawing board. But working on shorter term goals, like having kind of this perfect day vision is excellent. And whether you say that's okay, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5, 10 years from now, but like kind of knowing what you're ultimately working towards and kind of having that, you could even have that like paste it up on your fridge or sitting behind your computer, wherever, something to remind you of what you're working towards. But then to break down your day-to-day actions, like I think it's a lot more effective to kind of go to these 1 to 3 month kind of more project oriented or more like, okay, this is more tangible. I can kind of see what the next 3 months are going to look like, or here's going to be my focus for that. Are all of these goals in 100 days, like this is going to be the outcome, or like curious how you have it structured?
Yeah. I mean, I really love the SMART goal setup, the specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time bound. And then, yeah, by those 100 days, you'd actually be completely wrapped and have accomplished that goal. If you set out a goal and you put a timeline in place and you have like a time bound, this is when I want to accomplish this by, I mean, that could be 30 days, it could be 60 days, it could be 200 days based on kind of starting to move up this pyramid that and this framework that you talked about. That's when you kind of get into, if I want to accomplish this in 100 days, is that realistic? And I think that that's such an important piece of the puzzle is when we look at the goals that we want to accomplish and we start working backwards into how we're actually going to get there, we have to make sure that that is realistic for us given the time investment that we can give it, the resources that we have, and so on.
Now, one thing that I've kind of shifted a little bit on lately and curious to get your take on is historically, my goals are very outcome oriented. And a lot of goals are like, I want to be making $10,000 a month by the end of the year, right? You know, specific, measurable, timely, all that stuff. Where I've kind of shifted, same thing with like weight loss, New Year's resolution. I want to lose 15 pounds by the end of March. Like, okay, SMART goal, right? What I've kind of shifted towards is more like process oriented goals or process goals. If I do the work consistently, the outcome, especially in terms of business, is like, a lot of it feels like it's outside of my control. Google could make some algorithm update. Customers could choose or buy or not buy. And of course, you know, you have some influence over that. I want to do my work. Let me put in my 20-mile march, put one foot in front of the other, write my 500 words a day, produce the show, like whatever the going to the gym or like doing your workout, whatever the daily process is to reach that goal. Like if I can do that, that is like, I can check off that I made that goal, whether or not the outcome was necessarily what I maybe had hoped for at the beginning. I don't know if I'm explaining that well.
Yeah, no, I really dig that a lot, because so much of it is about the habits and the things that you put into practice every single day, right? Because it's about the journey. I mean, going back to the very real thing of like, you set this huge goal and then you accomplish it, but then you realize like, oh, I still don't really like, I'm not where I thought I would be, or I still don't feel like I have what I wanted, because so much of that you gain through putting in those reps, through becoming great at practicing health and wellness or time with your family or whatever it might be. Like, so much of it is brought about by the journey of it, not necessarily by the achievement of that goal. So yeah, I love that.
Gotta learn to love the journey, because there's always more journey.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you choosing projects today, kind of moving up to the next level of this pyramid?
All of my projects that I start are very specifically rooted in the goals that I have. So I never start a project that isn't specifically geared towards helping me reach one of my goals. I see a lot of people who are doing side hustles, who are trying to maybe beat their 9-to-5, who are full-time entrepreneurs. I mean, I think it happens to the best of us that we start projects just because it seems like the hot new thing or the best new strategy or the greatest platform that's ever come to be. And we end up investing so much time in it without even like stopping to recognize, oh, wow, this actually has nothing to do with getting me closer to the things I said are most important to me. And that seems to be a huge disconnect, where we say, this is what I want, but then everything that we're doing with our time is not helping us get to that. So any project that I start has to be very specifically geared towards helping me get towards my goals. And the focus and discipline that brings into your work can be, I mean, I was honestly mind blown. I didn't really know like how much it would move the needle.
Do you have an example of a project you've scrapped upon further analysis to say, this is not aligned with what I want at all?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay, so I'm a big believer in like really going deep into one or two social media platforms to help with like promotions and engagement and community, like based on where your ideal reader, listener, viewer is hanging out at. And with so many different social media platforms, it can be really easy to think like, I mean, right now, TikTok is like this huge thing all of a sudden. And I mean, thankfully, I'm not even tempted. Like, I'm not going to go there. But a couple months back, I did go there with Pinterest, and I started creating checklists and posting them. And my goal was to draw more attention to the work I'm doing on my podcast. But what I missed in the process is that by adding Pinterest, I was actually bailing on the two platforms that give me the highest ROI, which are Facebook and Instagram. And so in adding that to my plate, I started doing worse in the areas that were actually gaining me traction there. And Pinterest just it ended up being such a distraction for me. So I was like, you know what? Like, I just wasn't practicing what I preach, right? I needed to drop it and just be okay with the fact that right now I don't have a presence on Pinterest, and that's okay with me, because I can actually see the measurable results from Instagram and Facebook, and I'm seeing nothing from Pinterest.
Is there a way to know in advance what's going to be a distraction versus like what could legitimately have been an incremental traffic source?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? How do you know until you test it? I think it's a gamble that we really have to take as owners of our own time. It's like, what's it worth to you? What would be like the biggest win for you if the Pinterest thing worked out? What's the outcome that that's going to give you? I mean, for me, I was kind of hoping for just more reach. But at the end of the day, if I were to really like calculate the time spent versus that ROI, maybe reaching like what, 100 new listeners or 1,000 new listeners, you have to be and that goes back to being so clear on your vision and your goals. Like, what's it worth to you? Are you going to spend an hour, 2 hours a week on something that's going to net you, at very best case scenario, however many, you know, new eyes or new brand awareness or whatever your goal is for even being there in the first place.
So you've got the Ditch Busy podcast going on. Any other projects that you're working on this month? Try and dig in here and see what the project selection looks like and then how it relates back to the ultimate goals.
Yeah, for sure. So another big project that I'm working on right now has to do with SEO on our website. So we hired an SEO team that's been helping us with optimizing our content, with one of the big goal being ranking higher for podcasting terms. So a lot of my project-based work has been in re-optimizing that content, which is super time-consuming. I love it because I love creating content, and it is directly helping us get closer to our goals. So, I mean, that's a project I'm working on right now that has been a really big win for us.
Yeah, there's thousands and thousands of posts to go through now. Does the conversation of enough ever come up? I don't mean any offense by this, but like, you guys obviously have a very successful operation. What is the motivation to keep going versus we could retire, we could coast, we could travel, we could do whatever? Like, what's motivating you to like keep working on this stuff day in, day out?
So the trajectory of our business and where we're at right now versus like maybe 2-3 years ago, when honestly we were working 60-hour weeks sometimes and just, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but I mean, we had a lot going on. And when I look at that versus where we're at right now, like we've really gone through such a progression that now we only work on stuff that truly lights us up, that we are excited about, that we love doing, and that we know makes an impact for our audience. Because over the years, we've been incredibly lucky to build this amazing community. And so much of what our community provides and comes to us with feedback and the impact that's been made. I mean, when I think about myself 10 years ago, when I was working in corporate and I didn't even know what entrepreneurship was, if I had had somebody like reveal this option to me of getting to literally do what I love every single day and also be able to spend as much time with my family as I want, travel as much as I want, have financial freedom, that's life-changing, right? And that makes this like such a huge passion for me to continue getting our message out there so that people in that situation know that, hey, this is possible. And, you know, the interviews that John does on the podcast is like, these are people who are making this happen and you can too. So much of it has to do with the message and the impact. And then also, again, we've gotten to a place now where we say no to so much stuff and truly are only working on things that matter to us.
I like that. I appreciate you sharing that. And I feel very fortunate to kind of be in a similar position where I get to work on stuff that is genuinely exciting, that I genuinely care about, that serves others. It's a cool place to be in. You brought up something that was like the percentage of no's today versus the percentage of no's 8 or 10 years ago. That is the mark of one. It's like this prioritization conversation, which is a huge element of productivity and effectiveness. But it's kind of like early on, you almost have to say yes. You have to say yes to doing the Pinterest experiment. You have to say yes to playing around on TikTok because you don't know. You got to test stuff out. And then as the business matures, you say like, no, this is my wheelhouse. This is where I want to spend my effort. Let's use this SEO project as an example of like trying to get the EO Fire content to rank better in Google. What's that next level? We're going to move up to the next level on the pyramid here, breaking that down into the specific tasks that have to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, in this particular situation, this project that we're working on, because we have this SEO team that we're partnering with, a lot of the tasks actually come from them. But I know that that's not always the case, right? I mean, a lot of the times we're creating projects on our own, and so we have to come up with the tasks ourselves. So right now, like those post optimizations that I was talking about, I mean, let's just pretend that I don't have this SEO team that I'm working with and I'm doing this on my own. If the project is to optimize certain type of content on our site, then the individual tasks would just be like the micro requirements to get to that. Like One would be, how do I find out which posts I'm going to optimize? And in that case, I'd be diving into SEO research, keywords, what's being most searched by people. And then based on that, and also, you know, doing research into what are some of our highest traffic posts. One of our big things was like, hey, we don't really want to like take content that isn't getting visits anyways. Let's focus on our highest traffic content and make that even better. So all these micro tasks that you get into where you're doing research around it, maybe, or part of the optimization is like setting up these sheets where we're figuring out, okay, are we using our keywords enough without doing, you know, like keyword stuffing or anything like that? So there are these like little intricacies of the project that you're going to have to tee up as tasks that are each in turn going to get you one step closer.
Yeah, we don't need to dive too deep into like the technical elements of SEO. So if I look like how to get sponsorships on your podcast, I imagine that's a high priority post for you. EO Fire is at the top of page two. So again, that would be a perfect page two target because it's like, oh, if I can bump that up even just one position, now all of a sudden I'm getting a lot more eyeballs.
Absolutely. Yep.
Any framework for figuring out what which tasks to do yourself versus which to delegate? This is something I personally struggle with.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a couple of different approaches that you could take to it. An approach that I've heard about a lot is kind of like breaking your tasks into $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000. And if you look at it from that perspective, I mean, any task that's like a $10, $100 task is probably like pretty clearly telling you that that's not, I mean, unless that's how you value your time, which I don't think it is. So, I mean, if you're thinking in terms of like, I could be working on a $1,000 task, but you find yourself working in the $10 tasks, like those $10 tasks would be perfect to delegate. I think it's also a matter of sitting down and asking yourself what you love doing, right? If there are things that are just like so not a part of your wheelhouse, I've done the work to learn about keyword research and like what that's all about, but that was a huge time investment for me. At the time, it was important enough and a big enough goal for us that I did it. But in another situation where maybe I didn't have that time to dedicate to it, that is something that I could outsource. You know, it's not really in my zone of genius to be figuring out how to do keyword research and that sort of stuff.
I don't know. I geek out on that stuff. That goes back to what you love doing. I haven't heard of this $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000 task idea. I kind of like that. It's like, oh, why are you as the business owner doing these $10 tasks? Like it may not be necessary. In the early days, like I will admit it, this was very much a bootstrapped operation, as I know EO Fire was as well. So you're kind of wearing all the hats in the early days. It's perfectly fine, perfectly normal how everybody kind of starts. And it's kind of how quickly can you level up? And several guests, Rosemary Groner comes to mind with this relentless focus on ROI. Like I will do the highest priority tasks in terms of the ones that deliver the most bang for my buck, the best return. And I will keep doing that, kind of like practice this 80-20 over and over again. And it's like, and in her words, like you can't not fail if you do that. I was like, that's an interesting way to frame it because like you're kind of weeding out the low priority stuff. That was how she went about building a pretty significant blogging operation. Talk to me about maybe task management in terms of, I don't know how to tee this up, but like for me, the system is usually like, as we're kind of working up the pyramid, tended to work like in 4-week sprints, at least under normal non-pandemic circumstances. Here's what I think I can accomplish over the next 4 weeks. This is kind of my big picture goal or my main project for that time. Here are the 10 or 15 tasks that need to get done inside of there. And then maybe it's the prioritization question of, okay, and sometimes it's very like chronological, like this needs to happen before this, this needs to happen before that. Can you speak to the prioritization of all the things that you have on your plate?
Action reveals answers very quickly. So if you dive into something that is, you know, the biggest part of it, you're not really sure how you're actually going to tackle it yet. As soon as you dive into that, you're going to start figuring out a lot more about the other tasks on your list. I'm just like a huge fan of scheduling everything I mean, I know we're going to get into tools here soon, but that really is scheduling the time. If you have those 2 hours, like setting those boundaries and blocking it off, you have to be so focused and disciplined about that, because just as fast as you start your 2 hour time block, if you don't set those boundaries and have that time blocked off, then it's going to be very easy for you to find any other distraction to not be focusing on those tasks.
I love that. Action reveals answers. Put that one in quotes. I like that one. The thing that I wanted to revisit here, you phrased it better than I could. This was kind of the step that I missed, was itemizing out the action steps to take a project to reality. Because like for years, I would have items on my to-do list, and maybe other people are guilty of this as well. And they would sit there for weeks, sometimes months at a time. And I would stare at that like, well, I don't have time for that right now. And what has helped me is recognizing, if I don't have time for that right now, that means it's not broken down small enough. It's like, okay, there needs to be a smaller chunk that you can bite off. It's like, how would you eat an elephant? What? That's like the weirdest phrase anyways. Like, who is eating elephant? But like, you know, this one bite at a time kind of a thing. Or it's like, yeah, if write book is on your to-do list, yeah, it's never going to get done, right? And I've used that example before. It's like you need to break it down into something that you can accomplish in that 2 hour time block. And if you don't have a 2 hour time block, in a 15 minute time block, like the work needs to be adjusted into the time that you have and not necessarily the other way around. Because I would have things, again, that would sit there for weeks and months. Like, well, I'm never going to have this 36 hour uninterrupted, you know, period of time to like knock out this whole project. Of course you're not. And nobody does. But instead, how can I break that down into more manageable pieces? That's been very helpful for me in kind of moving things forward, like these little mini steps along the way. Plus, then you feel accomplished for having crossed those off. But you also teed up a great transition into the tools and tactics, specifically with dumping stuff onto your calendar. So it sounds like that is a task management system for you, at least a time blocking system for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I use my Google Calendar to schedule everything so that any given time that I want, I have a visual representation of what my commitments are. And that's really helpful when it comes to when you're being presented with like an opportunity, an offer, you know, something that sounds too good to be true, or you have a new great idea and you're trying to figure out, okay, can I take this on? Can't I take this on? Having everything scheduled out in my calendar, I feel gives me like a very quick visual representation of what my next like couple weeks, couple months look like. In addition to that, I use Asana, A-S-A-N-A, to do all of my task tracking and project management. So in addition to having everything blocked out in my Google Calendar, then I'm also on a task level just like really being super specific about the exact thing that I need to accomplish and putting a due date to it, which is really great accountability. I mean, I start off every single morning. The very first thing I do when I get to my computer is open up my Google Calendar and open up my Asana. And that immediately shows me exactly what my day is set up for. And if something comes up, like, am I going to be able to say yes to it? And this kind of goes back to how do you want to be spending your days? Like, if you constantly have days that are just like completely blocked out, but that's not how you actually want to be spending your time, then you really got to be checking in with yourself on this stuff.
Do those two systems talk to each other? Where it's like, okay, if you have your project in Asana and your subtasks, and you can do this in pen and paper too, but Asana is pretty slick. If you assign a due date to that task, will it add to your calendar automatically? Or do you have to go in and say, okay, today is the day where I'm going to work on this piece of that project?
You know, I do think that they have an integration. I'm not currently leveraging it. I think it might be a newer addition to it. But if I'm looking at like my Google Calendar, the time blocks are more of like a project view, and then the task view is in Asana. So I mean, if I have a task that is going to take me 30 minutes, I don't necessarily have like a 30-minute block in my calendar that says you're doing this task right now, but I have that time blocked off knowing that I'm going to be doing my task work.
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay. Yeah. So the calendar is kind of like the overview. Here is the project that I'm working on. And then to get into the nitty-gritty, it's the Asana view.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing, like kind of going back to the tasks and like that 4-week example that we gave, and this gets into the tool aspect of it too, because I have this actually scheduled out in my calendar as well. Is any like milestones or checkpoints that you can give yourself are going to be a huge win. So in that 4-week example, like if that was my project time span, I would be putting in probably like weekly milestone checks where scheduling like maybe an hour on my calendar and I'm literally looking at my task list, due dates, the progress that I'm making, where I should be, what I said I'd have done by now, and really checking in with myself to see like what's been working really well, what hasn't been working that well, how can I find more efficiencies in what I'm doing? Am I on track? And based on all your answers to those questions, when you do these check-ins, you know, that's really going to be your opportunity to potentially reprioritize, to have to move timelines or due dates, et cetera. And I think that we miss out on that a lot of times. We say like, oh, well, I have this huge goal and my goal date is 2 months from now. So like, I'm good. I've got all the time in the world. But of course, that time goes by quite quickly if we're not checking in with ourselves and making sure we're on track.
Yes, that's why they say, if it weren't for the last minute, a lot of stuff wouldn't get done. Yeah, you can reverse map this stuff out. Any efficiency wins or like just where have you been all my life, like in the last 12 or 18 months in terms of your own processes?
So, I mean, something that's really huge for me that I've started implementing every single day is morning sweep and an evening sweep. And this really helps me just calibrate myself. And it's also a huge help when it comes from shifting from being in a work mode to then going into like a family mode or a personal time mode. So, I mean, depending on where your workday starts and ends, might not be a morning and an evening sweep. Maybe it's like a 12 p.m. sweep and a 3 p.m. sweep or whatever it is for you. But this has been, in terms of like productivity and managing my time really well, that morning sweep is kind of going back to what I was just talking about. Like I'm sitting down, I'm opening up my Google Calendar, I'm opening up Asana, and I'm really taking a look at my day, making sure that everything on my list is realistic, given the time that I have, given the commitments that I have. And then I'm sitting and I'm breaking out each of my tasks into a focus session. So every single one of my tasks gets an amount of time put to it. So anytime I dive into a task, like let's say on my task is to do one of those blog post optimizations, just based off my experience and having done several of these now, I know that it's going to take me at least an hour. So my focus time is 1 hour, and I'm actually going to set a timer on my phone for 1 hour. And for that entire hour, no distractions, full focus. I'm only working on one thing. Every other tab on my computer is closed. No other programs are getting opened. And then after that focus time, I give myself a refresh time. So 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you can kind of play with it and see what works best for you. But I'm going to get up, stretch, go get a coffee, go have something to eat, whatever, you know, I want to do in that refresh time, to set myself up for my next focus session. And maybe my next focus session is only 30 minutes long, because that's what the task at hand requires. So that morning sweep is really just setting up my day into these focus and refresh sessions, given the time block that I have to work on stuff. And then that evening sweep, it kind of follows the same flow of what I was talking about with these check-ins. It's like, I'm going to look back on my day. I'm going to look at my focus sessions. Did I accomplish what I wanted to accomplish that day? If yes, what worked really well for me? And if I didn't accomplish something on my list, why didn't I accomplish it? Was I overambitious? Did I not have the right tools in place? Did I not break the task down into, to your point earlier, was it not in a small enough chunk for me to be able to accomplish that? And asking ourselves these questions every single day can teach us so much about how we're spending our time and our tendencies and our habits when it comes to focus and discipline. And if you can make a habit out of doing these morning and these evening sweeps to kind of bookend your workday, I can guarantee you, you're going to start to identify what your Achilles heel is when it comes to time management and productivity. And, you know, if you're willing to put the time into it and improve that every single day, you're going to become so much better when it comes to crushing your to-do list.
Yeah, that's helpful. I was going to ask you specifically about that kind of evening sweep or that shutdown routine where you can kind of turn off work mode and enter personal time, family time mode, because that's something that I admittedly struggle with. And Amanda, you guys are in the same boat. Like, the work is never done. There's always going to be more ideas. There's always going to be more projects. There's always going to be more stuff to do. But drawing a line in the sand and saying, nope, I'm done for the day. Shut it down. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't. Here's kind of my top priorities for tomorrow. Something that's still, I don't have the answer for it. It's something that I'm still working towards, but try to do this around 5 o'clock and kind of wrap up whatever thing, you know, whatever I'm working on, and everything else can wait. And sometimes I'll jump back on after the kids go to bed and try and clean up the inbox a little bit. But it's just trying to complete this evening sweep. I never called it that before.
Yeah. And you know, what's been really helpful for me in that, Nick, is just if I continue to have like ideas as the night goes on, when I'm trying to like get away from that work mode and into whatever other mode I'm trying to get into, I find that it's really helpful that like if an idea comes up or I think of something that I wanted to do that I wasn't able to finish, or maybe that I even forgot to like put on my task list, I just have a running notes list, or I also have the Asana app on my phone. So my rule is that I'm allowed to take the time to write it down and then that's it. Because I know that at least if I get it out of my head and into either Asana or in a note-taking system, then that's like peace of mind that it's there. I can get to it. I'm just not going to get to it right now. And that's been really helpful in kind of bringing me back to that focus of transitioning my day.
Yeah, I like that. And you brought up the other point there was bookending your days, which if you are still in the side hustle position where you got to go to work from 8 to 5, 8 to 6, the bookending your days strategy is immensely helpful. And I forget the origin of this, but the argument is you're going to have the most control over the very start and the very end of your day. And so if you're looking for windows of time or like to reclaim some of that time for yourself, the bookends are probably the best places to look, because there's going to be all kinds of fires to put out in the middle of the day. You're often going to be reacting to someone else's agenda in the middle of the day, whereas first thing in the morning, last thing before bed, that can be your time. Use it wisely. So I really like that stuff. So you mentioned Asana, you mentioned Google Calendar. Any other must-have tools of the trade these days?
Wow. Okay. So Rescue Time is a big one that I use, and that was really helpful, especially in the beginning of kind of like my journey with time management and productivity. And what Rescue Time does is it's a software that runs in the background on your computer. So as long as you have it set to like start running whenever you turn your computer on, it will track time spent in different programs and different areas. And so it essentially gives you a daily view, a weekly view, a monthly view, even a yearly view, tells you how much time you're spending where, on what tasks and what areas. And that can be really helpful, because I feel like a lot of the times we end our days and if somebody asks us what we did, we might not even be able to to actually communicate what we worked on. But Rescue Times gives you a very clear look at that. And one of the biggest things for me is like, I would look at Rescue Time and it would tell me that, you know, I was on social media for like 2 hours one day. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's not, I don't want to be spending my time on social media for 2 hours a day. Like, there's so many other things I could be doing with that time.
Is it just a browser extension or it's like a desktop software?
Yeah, it's a desktop software.
Okay. So take a look at what's open on your screen and see where your time is really going.
Yeah, exactly. Two other tools that I absolutely live by that have been so game-changing for my productivity and like managing my time is Text Expander. And Text Expander just essentially allows you to create short keys for sentences, phrases, basically anything that I find myself typing over and over again, I can create a Text Expander for it. I got my Text Expander report back last month and I saved over 3 hours that month just using Text Expander to send someone my bio or to type out my email address, like those types of things. You use Text Expander too?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a game changer.
I've got like the like hex color codes like for the website dialed in. I've got like the routing number for the, like, just all this random stuff that I would always have to go and look up and copy and paste. It's like, oh, nope, I can just make a little shortcut. And what I screwed up early on was, like, I made my kind of like trigger the asterisk, which is like, oh, you know, I guess you're supposed to use like Q or Z kind of like at the beginning to trigger these things. But in any case, I have to hit shift more often than I probably should, which is harder on mobile.
You know, what's actually a good one that I started doing is I just do a hyphen in the front of anything. I think like my email address is, I don't know, I had a shortcut set up like that, that it was like, it was kind of getting in the way too often. So I just put a hyphen in the front of my short code, which is helpful.
Okay. Like if I hit SSS, like that fills in like the full Side Hustle Nation URL. And then I can, you know, I can type in whatever extension, whatever pretty link I want to add after that. Just a huge, huge time saver from just having to type out all these little keystrokes. I don't know. It's definitely a super nerdy thing, but it's like, no, I don't want to quote pricing, but it's very affordable.
Yes. And so worth it. One other tool that I'll mention that I literally use probably like I use it all the time is Boomerang for Gmail. And even if you don't use Gmail, I know that there are add-ons or programs that are similar to this for like Outlook and other email systems. But essentially, it helps you manage your inbox by being able to send messages later, have messages come back to you. It's great for if you do a lot of follow-up, like I always give the example of communicating with our sponsors and like being able to get talking points and approved reads. And there's a lot of back and forth communication when it comes to contracts and invoices and all that kind of stuff. And Boomerang just allows me to like schedule those emails out and then also have emails come back to me if I need to like follow up on something. So it's a great tool.
Yeah, I like that one. I haven't played around with that one. I had Streak was, I guess, a similar one where you could kind of schedule emails out to go later, although now that's built in with Gmail. The other one that I use a lot inside of Gmail is called NudgeMail, which basically you can BCC like 2 weeks at nudgemail.com and it'll like pop that back up to your inbox in a couple of weeks if you need to remember to follow up or if you haven't.
Oh,
again,
okay.
With a lot of times with invoicing and stuff, it's like, hey, make sure this thing is top of mind, or like a customer support issue, or it's like, I just want to make sure this gets handled. And if it has, great, I can ignore that thing when it comes back in 2 weeks, but just to make sure that it doesn't get lost in the ether there. One that I've been relying on a lot lately, actually a couple of these, Zapier has been helpful for me in kind of like automating a bunch of different moving pieces and sending data over here or like forwarding messages to various members of the team. So that one's been helpful. I've been loving Canva lately. Like my first attempt at Canva was a few years ago and I couldn't figure out how to work it, which I don't know what was going on in my head because it's like really simple to use. Awesome for like quick graphic designs and stuff. Where I really started to see the light on Canva was in trying to create a workbook for a course I did last summer. And I was trying to do it like in Microsoft Word. And like I was on the first page of this thing and I was miserable. And an assistant who helped me with it, she's like, yeah, first thing, get out of Word. Like you need to do this in Canva. I was like really skeptical. I was like, fine, have a crack at it. Let me know what you come up with. It's like, oh, this is a million times better. Thank you. So I have her to thank for that.
You know, that's so funny. I feel the exact same. I had the exact same experience with Canva. So I'm glad that I wasn't alone.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Maybe the interface is better than it was 4 years ago or whenever it first came on my radar. But the other one that I use all the time, and my wife was looking over my shoulder the other day as I was doing this, is ClipX for PC. And I want to say CopyClip is the Mac equivalent. But it's basically like a clipboard management thing that saves the last 20 things or 25 things that I copied and will let me choose from that menu to paste. So I'm always copying, pasting stuff all day long. And it's not always one for one. Sometimes it's like, you know, three or four things ago, you can paste those in really quickly. So she thought that was cool. And that's something that I use all the time.
Yeah, that sounds super helpful. I haven't heard of that before. I'm going to check it out.
You know, if you do a lot of pasting, it comes in handy.
Yeah.
Again, really nerdy stuff, but hey, you know, these incremental gains add up. And of course, we should mention that John and Kate have the Freedom Journal at thefreedomjournal.com, the Mastery Journal at themasteryjournal.com. Again, tools to help you kind of document your progress on a daily basis. Figure out what is the most important thing for you to be working on and go out and get that stuff done. Kate, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Nick, I super appreciate you inviting me on. I always love geeking out on this stuff. I just feel like I could talk about this stuff all day. So just to wrap up the productivity pyramid and the formula that we've been talking about, I mean, it really starts with that time that you set to be so clear on your vision and your goals. Because until you can get to that place, everything that comes after that, the projects, the tasks, the tools, none of it's really going to get you where you want to go if you don't have a clear picture of where that is. So like you said, Nick, maybe you just have 15 minutes. That's fine. Sit down with a notebook or, you know, open up your computer and note-taking system and start writing out, like, what is that vision? What is that next goal that you want to work on? And have that laser focus and that discipline to help get yourself there. It's once you start putting this into practice, I mean, it will change everything. I've heard from so many people who have taken the time to implement this focus, this discipline, whether it's using a journal or, you know, on your own with other tools that you found, it's going to make a huge impact on your journey.
Yeah, absolutely right. You've got to ask yourself, was I busy today or was I effective today? Did I make progress? You know, that's the big thing. Or did I just go through the motions, right? Am I better off today than I was yesterday? Hopefully the answer is yes for you. Hopefully the answer is yes for tuning into this stuff. EOFire.com. The new podcast is Ditch Busy. Check Kate's stuff out over there. DitchBusy.com. We'll give you a bunch of places where you can find it. Kate, thank you again for joining me. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
My number one tip is every single day, start asking yourself at the beginning of the day, what is my biggest priority today? And keep that focus in mind throughout the day. If you have to reprioritize, something gets in your way, something unexpected happens, that's okay. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just get back to that priority and let's make some magic happen.
I like it. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.